The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Last week on the Sunday programme, we were talking about an article by Niamh Horan with John O'Connor, the outgoing CEO of the Irish Housing Agency. And he spoke about the need to build smaller homes. And he was talking about our fixation as a country on the larger home. And it struck me as a very interesting point that are we, you know, the way we're at a cultural tipping point, maybe with big cars and 4x4s and all that. Is the big house going to become very unfashionable in the next few years? So Hugh Wallace, who is, of course, an architect and director of Douglas Wallace and a Georgian RT1's Home of the Year, is the big home going to become an unfashionable or unsightly relic of times past?
Well, it is unsightly. So, you know, you had bungalow blight, which was what everybody commented on, the bungalows. But unfortunately, the big house that's been built at the moment, where people think they're building a mock Georgian, it's actually Victorian, but it isn't actually. It's nothing. It's poorly proportioned. And in fact, it's just sad, having spent so much money, that it's wrong. But in terms of sustainability going forward, I think big houses will be a thing of the past, mainly to do with money and cost and the cost of construction.
Yeah.
So, but it is definitely still a status symbol to build your house on top of the hill.
Yeah. And listen, we are not in any way suggesting here today that big houses were grand for everybody who has a house already and that the people coming up should be happier with smaller houses. We were just discussing this in a neutral fashion.
John O'Connor, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, John O'Connor made the point that 55% of households now, which I think is surprising, are two people or less, according to him. So do we need to, like, we've probably been traumatised in the past by the shoebox notion and all that. Do we actually need to be building more smaller apartments, two one-beds and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's a balance. And unfortunately, what we're missing here is there's a trick. So I was down in Cork, walked up Oliver Bond Street, Oliver Plunkett Street. Amazing.
Yeah.
What an amazing street. But if you walk the length of it, nobody lives overhead in any one of those buildings.
Yeah.
And if you multiply that around this countryside, in a tie, in our towns and villages, everywhere.
Yeah.
There's huge housing stock
and
available.
And you see these gorgeous old tall kind of long buildings with two and three floors above them. And are they Victorian?
They're
or
all
are they
Georgian 1915. An awful lot of Ireland is pre-1915 in terms of its towns and villages. And there's tens of thousands of those buildings sitting there idle. And they cannot be reused and repurposed because of regulations.
So it's too dear to do them, is it?
No, you have regulations are around building new homes. And those regulations are now being shoehorned into existing housing stock. And they don't match.
Do we not have any kind of grandfather regulations or something like that for older buildings?
Grandfather's gone. No, no. We have to do everything perfect now. We have to have A-rated everything. And from that point of view, you have to have a different approach to our existing building stock in this country. And at the moment, we're not capable of doing that.
Because you go to, like you said, go to London, lots of other European cities, and you see these gorgeous big old Georgian or whatever they are, and they're split into these amazing apartments. And you've the garden level one, lovely, and people, you know, they have the big old windows and all that, and they're fab, but they're modernised to a point.
Correct. Yeah, but
we can't do that here.
No, because of fire regulations, disabled access. After the second floor, you need a lift. So there's a whole load of just really things that relate to
disabled access. Disabled access is not a trivial thing, though, at the same time.
I'm not saying that. Yeah. This is about a balance. And all we're just talking about is a balanced approach. And we don't have a balanced approach in terms of our existing building stock. And we have to. Like, you think of Oliver Plunkett Street, and that could have 300 homes on the length of that street.
Yeah.
But imagine what
and
that
people
does.
Living that hipster city life as well.
I can see you there. Yeah, I can see you. Because, you know, things haven't changed with you now. But you're dying to put them hipsters on.
But so listen, the thing is this as well, right? People want to live in towns and cities, don't they? Particularly the young crowd. The jobs are there. The better paid jobs are there. It creates atmospheres where people cross-fertilise innovation, yeah, businesses happen and all that. But we do seem to kind of, the planning mitigates against that kind of density, doesn't it?
No, planning doesn't mitigate that. The regulations of construction mitigate against that. And therefore, you can't, in other countries, in fact, living over the shop is as much value in terms of income as the shop itself. And in Ireland, that's the case again. But unfortunately, we don't have the legislation or regulations to allow that to happen.
Okay, so we could unlock that, unlock like...
Hundred thousand homes.
Yeah.
Think about that. But that won't happen because you have to roll back things. You have to change things. And one of the things about this country is when we make a regulation, we find it very difficult to undo it.
Okay. And then, so all we do is add another one.
Correct,
now, basically.
Yeah. And in fact, the whole problem we have is you have so many people involved in a process of transformation of a building that in fact the owner goes, I couldn't be bothered.
Okay. Now, the other thing I suppose that comes out of that, what John O'Connor was saying and everything, is, and it can be a fraught thing to discuss, which is the idea of people downsizing. And look, I know it in my own neighbourhood. A lot of my older neighbours are saying, you know, we're rattling around here now, the kids are gone, but this is our home, this is our locale, this is where we know. And particularly as you get older, you want to be where you know. Do we need to start thinking of redesigning communities so that people can do that within their own community?
Correct. We need to build downsized homes. The issue, in fact, has a lot to do with legacy. The people are also not willing to move out of the home because what happens to their legacy, to their children? And that's a barrier. In Spain, they've got over that, where in fact you put the house up for rent, people bid on the house to actually own it or lease it for 10, 15 or 20 years. And they may pay, say, half of the value. They only pay half of the rent. It's a sustainable model. But what happens...
So as an asset, it stays in the family.
Correct,
is that the idea?
Correct. But over the 20 years, you cannot get the tenant out. So there's security of tenure for the tenant as well.
Okay.
And so there's a whole load of models which should be looked at. But in this country, everything just grinds slowly to a halt because we have to have a super subcommittee to have a subcommittee.
Yeah.
And then it's somebody's fault anyway. And then they can all go into the door and have a bargee.
Yeah. It's back to what Derek Leary at that Fianna Fáil thinking is alleged to have said, if Don O'Malley tried to bring in free education now, it would be strangled at birth because you just wouldn't be able to do it with red tape and everything else.
No.
Now, stay with us, Hugh. And Mary Burke is joining us now. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brendan.
Now, Mary, you and your husband, Paddy, have downsized and you're not actually retired, so you're not, which is how we tend to think of downsizers. What do you both do?
No, we're not retired. We're coming towards retirement age.
And why did you decide to downsize?
Well, we downsized because, well, moving is not totally new to us. We have moved a couple of times, but our last home, the move from that home would have been the most significant move because at that, our last son was left the home to get married with four children. So at this stage, they're all married with homes of their own. So we're in this house and we're thinking of empty rooms and big garden and, you know, what we should do going forward. So at this stage, it was a decision for us to decide what were our needs going forward. So we were married at this stage almost 40 years. A huge amount of happy memories with kids and all friends and everything like that. But we decided at this stage in our lives, we wanted to do a little something different. And at the same time, my husband was working on a 2-year contract in America. And we were renting a 2-bed townhouse. So that gave us a feel for what it might be like living in a smaller house. So, but we still had a large family to think of. So what we decided to do was move to a smaller house. It has the same amount of rooms, but smaller rooms, smaller square footage. I still needed space for my children and grandchildren to stay if they came to visit. So we bought a house in a four-bed semi in a community. And it's a lot more compact, easier to maintain. So that was what our needs were. It's not for everybody, but that was our needs.
Yeah, so and it's an easier life, obviously. The other house was bigger and more sprawling and more work, obviously.
It was bigger and it was a third of an acre. And yeah. Going forward, we didn't want that. And plus, I was in that house on my own for a while from the point my husband was working away. And I was thinking to myself in the future, if I was left on my own, what would my needs be? I wouldn't have lived in it on my own.
Yeah. But Mary, I suppose people are thinking, yeah, I can see the practicalities of that. But was it very hard to leave your own house? And you talked about the memories and everything there. And I suppose the texture of your life was there all around you.
It was all around us. But we had moved a couple of times. And we had boxes of memories and boxes of, you know, things my children would have made. I collected everything. Their first day at school, what they made me for Mother's Day, Christmas cards. And all family pictures and all that. But at this stage in our lives, we decided it's going to be time to make new memories. Our children were all had their own homes. They were making their memories. Now yeah. It was time that we would do this. So I am very happy we did it.
So no regrets?
No regrets. There's a couple of times my older two grandchildren, what their memories were with that last house. But you know, I explained to them what was happening and we'd make new memories and we actually live closer to them so they can actually walk to our house now.
Yeah.
We'll have lots of new memories in this house.
Okay. Mary Burke, thanks a million for that.
You're welcome, Brendan.
Bye. Now, not everyone agrees with Mary Burke. I think there's a sense out there, Hugh Wallace, that you know, this is trying to prize older people out of their houses. And you know what I think as well, though? I think a lot of the time the grown-up children, you see the grandchildren there weren't too keen. No. The grown-up children like the old home base where they grew up and they like it to be there. They might only come to it once a year or whatever, but they like it to be there for them.
They do, yeah, but I think that this has to do with perception again, and I think the reality is people want to live within their community and local area, and therefore they should be able to buy and purchase smaller homes, but still have that security of tenure. That can't be underestimated. That lack that if you sell your house, you've sold your independence.
Yes.
And that is really where the opportunity is to actually build, you know, homes for the over 55s, that they're one and two bedrooms, but they've got communal spaces, they have gardens, they have allotments, they have things that they would have had in their house.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden...
But that they're maybe not 100% responsible for in the way that they were previously, but they have the use of them.
Correct. Yeah. But it also has to do with actual services. So all of a sudden, if you have a community of 40 or 50 people and you do need access to nursing care or daycare, all of a sudden, one of the big problems with nursing care is the time it takes a nurse to get from A to B to C. So in the 8-hour day, they don't have 8 hours. They actually have 4 hours available because the other 4 hours are travelling.
Yes.
So there's all sorts of synergies here and positivities.
Yes. But people will say he wants to cluster all the old people together so they can be serviced more efficiently or whatever. But you know, people, I can see it from the text here, people are quite... antsy about this.
I know that, but I'm saying that the reality is we're all living till we're 80 and 85. So we also have to be practical and real.
Yeah.
And I would rather think that I can move into a home in my 50s or 60s and that home will take me on that journey.
Yeah.
In terms of my aging, that I have my home, I have my kitchen, I have my dining room. Maybe when my kids come, they don't stay in my apartment. They have an apartment for families and they visit. Because when you get old, grannies actually, I find, don't have their set in their ways.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're
yeah,
going,
yeah.
I really don't want you to stay.
Yeah, I think we become like, isn't it, fish that they go off after a day or two. The other interesting thing about that is that we want communities as well where there's a mix of age, isn't there?
Absolutely.
And where there's young kids to go in.
Oh,
and, you know,
yeah.
I used to go across and tie Mrs. Reardon's shoelaces for her back in the day in Melbourne.
Correct.
And that kind of thing that's maybe lost now a bit.
Well, it's
when if a load of young families move in together, yes, they all grow up together.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
you know. You
no,
don't
no,
have
it does have to be a balance. So where I lived just off the Coombe, and it was great because there was a lady next door and she ran the street. And dare you leave your bin out.
Yeah.
After the addition, she was on the door.
Yeah.
Put your bin in.
Okay, Hugh Wallace, that was all very interesting, but provocative, our texters
Indeed.
Think. Yeah, okay, thank you very much, Hugh Wallace. Take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.